Anna, can
you
hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Great.
Better.
Okay. Excellent. Sorry about that. Along with another technical difficulty, as we got started, we only have a few minutes, but we'll just do the best we can. So
great.
The reason we wanted to, I always like to give a tiny bit of background for folks who might be listening for the first time or are not familiar with recording and listening, that it's become such an important part of practice that we like to regularly have folks on who are really using it as a core part of their practice. And I understand that you've really had some great experiences with it lately, so we thought maybe you might give us a little outline of those.
Sure, yeah. You know, the recording and listening practice has, you know, seems like we've been doing it for a while now, and it's one that, for me, it takes some willingness to continue with. Because it's such a powerful practice, there's like, you know, there are times when I try to get, you know, talked out of it, and then there's like a reinvigoration around, you know, recording and listening, you know, at various different points, I guess, over the past number of years. And one of, you know, I've had some, I guess this year we had some, I had some major life events happen, and it was really amazing to, you know, have that period of reinvigoration with recording and listening to assist myself, to assist myself during that period.
I love what you're saying, that because it's so powerful, we can know that there's going to be powerful resistance to it. And so that willingness to, even if we get talked out of it, to circle back and come back to it, and that when we go through really hard times, you know, content, things that come up in our lives that are really challenging, it's there for us.
Yeah, it is. And I guess one of the, you know, I guess one of the most powerful parts of recording and listening I found is, you know, I actually was practicing with it this morning in preparation for this call. There was a lot of energy around it. And so I got on my recorder and practiced the two-handed recording exercise. And what happens with me is something will come up and pseudo Zen comes in and labels it as, oh, that's egocentric karma conditioning. Don't listen to that. And, you know, I've noticed that sometimes that's not so. And so, it, you know, it's good to just risk it and get out the recorder and let it out so I can actually see what it is.
That is so great. So in other words, I just you can know if there's a voice that's saying, oh, no, you better not say that. That's ego talking. That it's so worth the risk, isn't it, to just let it out and then trust that as we listen back to it, that we'll, you know, that mentoring presence will have a sense of it.
Yeah, and, you know, what often happens is, you know, when I do that, for example, this morning, they'll, you know, that there'll be a, oh, this, that, the other, and then we'll kind of what's actually going on, like, becomes clear. It's just, I just say it, and then I get to hear it, and then it's clear. And so this morning, there was whatever the, you know, egocentric karma conditioning self-hate was saying, and then there was a, what I really want to say on Good News Act is how incredibly grateful I am for this practice and how, just how much it's assisted me through like, everything that has come up and how it's just like, you know, from the reminding myself what I'm focusing on in a particular day to the, gosh, there's something so hard going on and I don't even know which way to look, kind of thing. It's just one of those really versatile practices that I can always turn to. And the other part about it is when I do it, I feel connected to Sangha.
Uh-huh. Say more about that.
It's like the guide has pointed to this tool as a cornerstone of our practice so many times that when I actually pick up the recorder and make a recording, I feel aligned with practice.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
So
and that just, yeah.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
It just, I was going to say, it just feels good. It feels good to be aligned with practice.
That's so perfect because seeking guidance and following guidance is such a big part of our practice. So the guide offers something as really important and a really, you know, a central cornerstone of practice. And then that willingness to do it. And going back to what you started us with, to do it regardless of, quote, how I feel, right? Because sometimes, well, boy, you know, first time through, I do that two-handed recording exercise, and there's great clarity, and I see things and, you know, feel held in compassion. And other times, that may not be the first, mm-hmm. you know, the first experience of it, but that willingness to stick with it. And then it sounds like for you, as you do that practice, really a sense of being with Sangha, because you know there are thousands of people out there who are also using this practice as a big part of their practice to end suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think just, you know, exposing what it is that egocentric karma conditioning self-hate is doing mm-hmm. is such a huge, at least for me, a huge part of this recording and listening practice, and also getting actually clear on, well, what's underneath that? You know, what's actually going on here? Because sometimes it's just the yammering story that it's telling me is the only one that I actually get to hear, and so I don't actually get to hear what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
There can be that pseudo place of conversation starts up, I realize I'm involved, okay, no, I'm not having that conversation. But the attention doesn't truly get moved off of it, and whatever's in there that might need to be heard doesn't get heard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned clarity is a big piece of what comes out of it. For example, as you did that process to look at what you wanted to talk about in the Good News Update today. And I wonder, you know, without the content, if you just might briefly run us through. So you said this year you've had some really big things happen in your life, some really challenging content. And so just mm-hmm. kind of walk us through how you would use the steps of the two-handed recording to address that.
So for me, what I do is I take out the recorder and I just I describe what the experience is that I'm going through. So sort of, you know, not the, like, story, well, this and that and then the other thing, and then just really just, for me, I'm looking to tap into the emotion and to just express what it is that's going on for me with no filter.
Yes.
And that's, for me, to have a safe place to do that is huge, right? Because in a social setting, there can be the, well, you know, if I say, you know, kind of whatever maneuvering going on, but if it's me and the recorder, you know, I can risk it, you know, that does unfilter what's going on for me. And that is huge, just that first step of just having a place to express that. And the recorder is in the right hand. And then I put the recorder in the left hand and I listen to it. And I really listen to it. You know, there can be a, like, you know, rushing through the listening to get to the whatever mentor. And for me, the listening to it is just the huge, it's just, that's for me where a lot of the clarity happens, is actually saying it and then hearing it.
Yep, truly listening.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes there's a, something drops in around what it is that's going on, and sometimes that is just like a, I hear you. You know, I hear and a kind of a reflection of what was just said. And sometimes it's a little bit different than a reflection. It's a summarization. You know, it's something like that though, but it's a coming from a hearing place. And there's something that occurs to me to say, and then I say that in the recorder.
Yes. And then that person, then you get to listen back to that, and mm-hmm. you get an experience of being the wisdom, love, and compassion that can assist the person, and the person who's suffering gets assisted. So it's, just one of those places where everyone wins.
Yeah, and, you know, as you're describing it, it's just that being with that that I'm offering myself is that experience of not being alone in this, like, really tough situation, but rather being having someone there with me as I'm going through it and being acknowledged, you know, everything that's going on being acknowledged. And that's just, it's such a beautiful gift to be able to give to ourselves and to train to train with, to train to be that, you know.
Yes, to train with it, exactly. Gosh, there's so much more, Anna, that I would love to ask you about, and I do.
Yeah, you heard at the time.
We need to turn the show over to Michael and Sherry, but I just want to thank you so much for
being
willing to generously share your practice and your experience with us tonight, because I think, you know, as we both know, having done it, and as you say, the guide has encouraged us so much with this, that it's really a valuable tool for folks, and hopefully people who are listening will get a sense of that and try it out for themselves.
Yeah,
so thanks
absolutely.
So much
thank
for being
you.
With us.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Take care, Anna.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
And Michael, as we turn it over to you and Sherry, just a reminder to folks that the two-handed recording exercise was also featured in the Musings article in this, I think it was in the June Musings article. So for folks who have that, they can look it up. If you don't have access to that, I'm truthfully not sure how to access the archive of that. So you could write into the Yes Master, and we could get you pointed in the right direction, I'm sure.
Mm, great, great. And yes, it was beautifully laid out there. Just fabulous.
Yeah, really nice description. Yep. All right,
great.
Have a great show. Sorry for the delay.
Okay. No problem. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anna. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I'm good. It was great to get that Ferverino about recording and listening and getting reinvigorated and all that.
Yeah, it was. I think we need to have those gals continue that conversation because they're, you know, it was just, I was kind of on the edge of my seat there, and then it was time for it to be over. So to get reinvigorated, re-inspired, it's extremely helpful. And I love that point about the amount of resistance being commensurate with the amount of benefit that we receive. I think we can't hear that too often, right? That's such an important thing, really, to get.
Yep. Yes. Uh-huh. My experience.
And also the point that Anna made, because sometimes, you know, sometimes life just sort of goes along and we have whatever little whatevers we've got. And they, you know, they're big in and of themselves, but not, you know, not huge. And then sometimes we get some really big circumstances. And to have access to that, just 24/7, to have access to really being able to say what's going on, to be heard, to be accepted, and then the chance of having some mentoring come back to us, some support and guidance and that sort of thing, it is just invaluable.
It is. It is invaluable. It's great. And it's
probably,
available.
Yes. Yeah. We're on retreat. So we were kind of talking about that on the retreat. The whole practicing with little things, you know, if we have a habit of being in that kind of intimate communication with ourselves every day, with just whatever is going on, you know, you've got your best friend, you've got your mentor, and you just talk about things, about whatever is going on, stay current. And the relationship is established. It's deep, and it's always there and solid. And then when we hit those places in life where the big stuff comes along, the relationship is established. We're not scrambling around trying to find the support we need. It's right there for us.
Yeah, exactly so. Exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Great. Mm-hmm. You ready for announcements?
I am. What's going on?
Great. We have some good ones here. Anyone doing spiritual practice is walking the hero's path. We meet our mentors and face our demons and courageously encounter and transcend our deepest fears. The Hero's Journey Retreat, September 1st through 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, will explore the nature of the path we are walking together. Join Sherry and Ashwini for this fun and unusual experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, October 1st through 8th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, offers an opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners. And
the truth.
Get support. Yes, it is. And get support for Catching Conditioning's Bamboozles with the Empty Teacup Challenge, which is running now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on October 15th. Our goal is 15,000 thwarted bamboozles. So start spotting those con jobs now and record them on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website. Yes. Mm.
Did I tell you my plan for this, Michael?
Tell me.
I'm just going to just give Living Compassion all the money I have. Because, the way this is happening, you know, having this come out to us, the reminders, you know, every week
yes.
of what we're yeah. focusing on, what our current bamboozle is. And then, I'm sorry, I can't remember who was on Good News Update and was talking about recording it. Was that last week?
Oh, okay.
Last week? Recording it and then listening to it and catching the bamboozles, and it's hysterical. You know, it's like, okay, there's another. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. Wow.
All right.
All right. And, you know, it's like 7 a.m.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, I know who it was. It was Sri Devi the Bridge Walk campaign. That's who it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was I found that just such a helpful tip that she gave of the recording, the current bamboozle, because then I can really keep it in front of my conscious awareness as I go through the day. And it's impressive, the number of those bamboozles that pop up in one's life.
Yes. 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 Hmm? Way beyond 15,000, I'm sure.
I think so. I think I could probably do the 15,000 on my own. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
And, Michael, when you say that, I'm guessing that it's time for us to get on there and sign up for the Bridge Walk, right? Order our T-shirt and let folks know that we're going to be there. I bet that time has arrived.
I think so. I will check the website, and then I will report back.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Sure. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is really helpful. And I think we're ready here,
right.
Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm Shaz. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we can. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. Didn't realize I would get on right away. I just recently did a retreat, There's Nothing Wrong With You, in North
mm-hmm.
Carolina, and it was extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely a rookie in all of this, and I just found myself really just wanting to know more about this awareness practice, and I've been doing the Sangha, and I've been meditating, and I'm very interested in these upcoming retreats, and I guess my question is, I've done lots of retreats. Is it like the ego, karmic mind just telling me, okay, go ahead and do the retreat because you're going to, I want something else, I want more? Or is it just something within me that really just is so fascinated and really wants to just become more in tune with this this mentoring presence that I had such a deep contact with when I was on the retreat, and it seems to be fading some. So anyway, so the Heroes Retreat is of interest. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
So you've done a lot of retreats in I'm guessing various traditions since you're new with us.
Right. Right.
And what was your motivation? Why were you doing that?
To do the other retreats or the one with you guys?
Well, kind of any of them. I'm just curious about what you'll identify as your motivation for doing retreats.
I want to let go of my suffering. And I go to them, and I've been a Vipassana meditator for a long time, and I just notice I get more in touch with something within me that notice that there's another way. And in your particular retreat, it was probably the most powerful thing I've ever done, and I'm not going to... And this mentoring presence that you talk about, and I really have had a pleasure of getting to know it, is something that really makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. So if I said, or if I asked you, does it feel like as you've been going along, so you're traveling a path here, a spiritual path, and does it feel, do you have a sense that you're sort of guided? It occurs to you, it drops in, you realize, oh, I do that. I want to, that feels like the thing to do. I want to do that. Does that?
Yes.
Kind of feel like
sometimes
how it, yeah.
It does feel like that, and then sometimes I'm confused, well, is it really, who's talking? You know, so now that I'm aware that there are voices, and then there's the mentoring presence. But it does feel like I am guided. This is the next step.
Yeah, yeah. And what you've also realized is that it takes a lot of support to keep the awareness, the insights from fading.
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you do a retreat, and it's just a really powerful experience, and then we get back in our regular life or whatever our regular life. It doesn't matter if we're living in a monastery. We get back into our regular life, and the magnitude of the whole thing begins to sort of fade, and the other stuff, the conditioning, is a bigger presence in our lives, in our day. Is that your experience?
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
And so,
well put.
Yeah. And so what you've realized is that what's really important to you is pursuing this experience that is where you are on the path right now, right? So you've done all these retreats, and your practice is deepened, and you've learned to be present and to pay attention and all of that. Now there's this mentoring presence that's making a lot of sense to you, and that you've had a taste of, if you will, and you want more of that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to choose which retreat is the Heroes Retreat is closer to me. It's the practical side of me feels that's probably fiscally more responsible to do that than go to the one in California. So these are just, I'm trying to make up my mind or trying to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. And the one in California, do we have one before New Year's that's different from the one that you did?
Yeah, you've got the one in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the Heroes Retreat.
Right.
In September.
But in California.
I think you have the October one, There's Nothing Wrong With You, which I already did that retreat in North Carolina. So I repeat that? I mean,
you
I
can.
Guess that's another
you, uh-huh. You certainly can, and you might actually, it might not just be a fiscally responsible choice to go to Bethlehem, because you'll have, because you've done There's Nothing Wrong With You, you've got the tools, right? And
right.
So subsequent retreats are going to be using those tools and having new insights and connections and things come together and identifying karma and moving past it and, you know, all those things we do in awareness practice. And then at some point, you probably will want to do the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat again, but probably not this soon, not this quickly.
Okay, you answered my question.
Yeah, that would be my encouragement, especially because it sounds like we're going to be in your neighborhood, and so to take advantage of those situations where it is closer to home, and then we'll get you out here to California when it's a retreat that will, you know, sort of be a next step for you or a new. It's not. We were just talking about that, the Suzuki Roshi quote about something about if we lose the spirit of repetition, our practice will suffer. So it's not that we always need to have new things in the sense of almost an entertainment, but sometimes seeing different phrasing, doing different exercises, just we look through a different lens and we get to see things in a new way, and that can be helpful in deepening our practice.
Right. Well, I already was leaning towards Pennsylvania. I mean, for I'm also German, and just like the another caller from last week. So, but that actually just feels right. There's just something. Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much.
And I don't know if this is part of what you were looking at, but for me, if we want something, we need to be clear about that. So if ending suffering is what you want to do, then giving that as much of your time and energy and attention as you can possibly manage is what you want to do. And the voices will try to talk you out of that, right? That it's just too much, or you're going overboard, or this is whatever it is. But only because there is a danger for those voices that you will, in fact, end suffering, which means put them out of business. So I don't think it's possible for us to do too much practice. And with this particular practice, we have so many things going on all the time that people can get to the place of there aren't actually enough hours in the day to be able to participate in all these things. And to me, that's a great problem to have. Because there's going to be something supporting me at every turn. And since ending suffering is my highest priority, then I'm happy for those supports. And I'm happy for the voices to be unhappy about the level of my participation.
Mm.
Know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I look forward to meeting you in Pennsylvania.
Yes, you will. I'm actually going to go ahead and sign up right now after the radio show. I've got
very
my
good
answer. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take good
bye-bye,
care.
Bye-bye, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jazz. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller.
Hi.
You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Sari. It's like Sherry without the H. And I am really struggling with deciphering what the right decision is on pretty much anything in my life. I'm from an abusive, right?
Name a content. Name a content, and it's got a duality, huh? Okay.
Exactly.
Good. Good.
And I'm able to recognize dualities, and I come from an abusive background, both childhood, and I have an abusive marriage as well as other abusive things. And so essentially what I've been trying to do is process map how I am in relationships. I'm pretty much a serial like for the last 10 years I've been in a relationship. So I've recently decided I need to be single, but I'm really struggling because I have feelings for two people. But the thing is, I'm recognizing that that's a duality. Like, I don't have to choose one person or the other. Like, I just need to be single. But I'm afraid.
You need to choose you.
I'm afraid of being single. I'm afraid of going back into this relationship with this person that I love. Like, we've been through pretty much hell and back. And then there's also this new person that I feel that I would be much more compatible with. So I've told all the parties I need to be single. But the thing is, I'm afraid of all three choices. And I've listened to several podcasts, and it's like, you know, if you're going in the direction of what you fear, you're doing the right thing. But I'm like, wow, like, I'm afraid of everything. So I guess I'm just kind of wondering.
Well,
like,
that's good, though, because any direction you go in is the right direction. So there's you could take comfort in that.
Okay. Yeah. It's just frustrating. I'm just like, I don't know, like, you know, how do I decipher what is a panic and anxiety-induced fear versus, like, a right decision fear? Do you know what I mean? Like what is my anxiety and what is actually something that would be healthy for me? Because the past relationship that it's like I keep coming back to him. I've been in a relationship, and I left it and contacted him, and then as soon as I went back to him, I was like, I freaked out and just was like, I can't do this. Like, there's so much that we've been through, and I'm spent on it. And so I've been trying to process map, but I guess.
So let me ask you this. So you know about process mapping. So you've got some awareness practice under your belt.
A little bit.
Do you do recording and listening?
I've been dabbling in it recently, yeah. I did a couple last month, and I just did one the other day, and it's, and then I tried the non-dominant hand journaling once, and, you know, it just kind of, it brought out the child in me, you know, and it just kind of made me more confused, and I feel like this child is the one that is drawn to the old relationship. Because there was a lot of really nasty stuff that happened, and, you know, he's like, I'm ready to move on, and, like, as soon as he was ready to actually do something, I'd already spent 8 months banging my head against the wall, and I was just spent and done, and the reason why I keep coming back to him is I have these panics where I just, like, miss him intensely, because it's like he's the first place I've ever felt like I was at home with, and so I'm trying to establish my own home. I'm on my own now. But it's just like, mm-hmm. I keep getting drawn back to him, and it's like, I don't know if it's healthy or not, you know?
Well, it certainly doesn't have a healthy ring to it when you describe it.
No. It's,
no.
And
logically, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Do you have a support network at all where you are?
Yeah, I have several very good friends that have been very supportive of me, and they're all encouraging me to be single, and
very good.
You know, I have, so I'm just like, okay, this is what I need to do, but it's just so difficult because, like, you know, that's not what he wants, and then it's like he wants to go hiking and all this stuff, and I'm like, I don't even know if I should be around him. Like, I don't know what the right thing is to do.
All right, so what you sort of do. I kind of hear that you do, and then you get talked out of what you know to be true. And it sounds like the thing that quickly talks you out of it is fear. right?
Yeah.
So you know you need to be single, and there's part of you, I think, who wants to be single, and feels that it's the right thing to do. All your, you know, often people who love us, our friends, have a much clearer sense of what we need than we do, right? And so if all your friends are saying you really need to be single, it might be good to take that as an encouragement, and then know that you're going to draw upon their support as you do this. And the other thing that I would strongly encourage you to do is to develop, to deepen a recording and listening practice. Because what you're seeking is going to be available to you in that relationship, the relationship that you find, that you develop with the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates you. You know that. And so working on that, this is a place where we could say it might be helpful to have a coach, somebody who would assist you in the practice and help you be responsible and accountable and all of those kinds of things. But to make sure that you have the support that you need to make this change, because it is big. It's exactly the kind of place where we get to a crossroads, right? I mean, you've been going along in this direction. Has it made you happy? You've known it's not a good direction, and yet that fear keeps coming up to keep you going there. Now you've hit the crossroads, and you want to go in a different direction, and you're going to want to have a lot of support for doing that. So there's much in this practice that's available to you. 13 years or something like that of archives of these radio shows where you can listen to other people talk about what goes on with them and get some encouragement and that sort of thing. As I say, there's coaching, there's reflective listening buddies, just a ton of places where you can go and be heard and find acceptance and encouragement and kind of the strength to go up against the voices of fear and to just trust that this is a huge thing that you're taking on. And don't let the voices give you a lot of standards for how you need to be as you go through it, because it might not be pretty.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah,
so far.
Yeah, you might be a real mess before you get to the other side of this, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my biggest issues is self-love and looking to others to fulfill that need of myself.
Yep.
And
And they can they?
No. Like not, I neglect myself and pour my energy into that relationship and it just goes bad. So.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, you've done all your homework. You know how it works. You know what doesn't work. You know what you need to do. And now it's just a matter of, this is what I'm committing to. This is what I need to do, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And you're going to get all the help, all the support that you can lay your hands on in order to do this. Not in that same pouring my energy into other people, hoping they'll give me something back, but just surrounding yourself with people who know that you are equal to your life, you're adequate to this experience, you can certainly do it, and that's what they'll remind you of. You can do this. You're doing fine. You can do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're here. You can let us know. Touch in here and give us a progress report and like that. If we can help with next steps, we're, delighted to do that.
Okay. I guess I have one other little...
I have one other thing. That retreat, that there's nothing wrong with you retreat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast from 2006. That's where I am in the podcast so far. And you were talking to one of the people, and you said, you know, pay as you go, or just start a payment plan on it.
Yep.
And so I know that I just heard there's one in October of this year. Where was that one located again?
California, Murphy's.
California. Okay.
At the monastery.
All right.
Yeah. At the monastery.
Yeah. That would probably be a good idea because I have the book and
really,
I have MP3.
A really good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
tremendous
I'll start
support.
There. Yeah.
You said you had one other thing.
Oh, yeah. I guess, you know, I guess, like I said, you know, it's difficult for me to decipher which direction to go when the voices are so strong in saying that everything that I see as an option, whether it be a duality or whether it be me reaching for something else, everything that I see as an option, like just the fear just comes in, and it's really overwhelming and it's very confusing. And it just makes me feel frozen, which I know like from the podcast before, it's like you don't have to do anything, but just sitting there is so painful too. So just...
Well, again, the risk of sounding like a broken record, that's where the recording and listening is really going to serve you, because
okay.
you can talk. It's just what Anna was talking about earlier on Good News Update. You can talk through what's going on. You know, the voices
yeah.
are saying this and this, and I feel so afraid. I just feel frozen. I feel paralyzed. You know, and then you listen to that person. And I promise you, if you stick with it, you'll start sensing a clear direction for her. And then it's going
yeah.
to be a matter of hanging on to that. And this is also a place where you want to make good use of those friends who love you. You know, when you get to that place, just pick the wisest among them, right? And say, or get the best 2 out of 3. You know,
yeah.
this is what's going on. This is what the voices are saying. Give me some advice. You know,
yeah.
what should I do? And then just do that. Because the thing that you're going to be convinced of as you go along is you can't make a mistake. It
yeah.
doesn't matter. You're practicing awareness. You're obviously aware. You're seeing what's going on. And you know, whatever the voices are saying or doing, you are going to be in exactly the perfect place for you to see what you need to see as the next step on your path. So not to let them worry you like that. It's okay. You
yeah.
can just say to your friend, I got these two, here are my choices. I can either flip a coin or you can tell me what to do. Tell me what to do.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm
all
sure
right.
they would much rather
let us
give me a, yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah. You are so welcome. Take good care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sari. That was a great call, Sari, and I appreciate those reminders about recording and listening and the importance of getting clarity about what's going on with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
because it is that learning to, and as she said, you know, just being still, especially in the beginning, is so terrifying because it just feels like we're a sitting duck, right? The voices
uh-huh.
then, you know, we're not even a moving target any longer. We're just sitting there, and the voices are going to kill us. But learning to be still and breathe through that, just breathe through it. Talk about what's going on. Hear what the mentor has to say. Trust that we can't make a mistake. And before long, it actually becomes kind of fun and manageable.
Yes, that's my
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sari, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back for more callers.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beauty?
great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Excellent.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jeff calling from South Dakota.
Well, hello, hi. Jeff.
Hello, Sherry and Michael. I am calling to check back in and give an update. I called a few months ago.
Yep.
Yeah, well, great. You remember?
I remember.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, what happened is, basically I've been stuck in this manual labor job after quitting this more professional type job. And just been stuck in it, and you mentioned a couple different strategies, the last of which was recording and listening, which I have been doing every day since we called, and I found it very helpful in kind of building a relationship with myself and hearing myself and
mm-hmm.
You know, all the things that the callers have been talking about tonight, which are the benefits, and there are lots. What's happened, though, is, to kind of get to the crux of the matter, in the most recent job I applied for, and I just keep applying for jobs and don't get them, I don't have a clear sense still of what is it I want to do, but one that I applied for today, as a matter of fact, my wife said, let me read your cover letter. And I said, sure, because she's very skilled at that sort of thing. And she kind of read it and started correcting different things on it and had a lot of corrections and basically said, well, you're underselling yourself and it doesn't really seem like you want this job. And that brought kind of up a discussion. But it then basically led to a lot of frustration and a kind of a point of, well, it's not really about the job, it's that you're not ever happy. And even though I kind of do the right thing all the time, like even in this this work, I like spend 2 hours a day on practice stuff, meditating 30 minutes in the morning, doing recording and listening to archives. And it hasn't gotten better, what it kind of boils down to, though, is I've told very few people in my life this, but I had a really severe, traumatic childhood with my mother physically and sexually abusing me repeatedly, and it took me a long time to even get to the repressed memories to get that past, but I've been working on it, and I have gotten a lot more emotionally stable and relatively can function, but there is like this karma thing, I'd love to hear thoughts on it. I cannot get past this bump or this block.
Mm-hmm. And so what you're suspecting with the help of
the conversation with your wife and all the work that you've been doing, is that it's not about the job, first of all. There is no right job for you because you're not happy, mm-hmm. and that you're not going to be happy until you work out this stuff from your childhood.
Well, that, yeah, and part of what's frustrating is I feel like I've worked out quite a bit of it, but there still must be something in my mind or something that is preventing me to letting go and turning the corner fully.
And is that what it feels like, that you don't let go? I mean, is it, do you kind of live in a conversation about that time of your life? Do you hear a lot
yeah.
about what happened and it was wrong, or it shouldn't have, or?
Not consciously. There was probably 10 years when I really worked on this psychologically and through homeopathics and felt like, well, I'm able to function. Haven't been on any medicine for 18 years. But people who meet me and know me would say, "Oh, he seems fine." A little strange. He has a master's degree and he's working at this farm store stacking dog food. But there's it seems to be okay. It's the jobs that just haven't come, and
there's nothing that you're passionate about.
Well, right now I'm passionate about Zen practice and your books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm passionate about that,
mm-hmm.
and that's helped. That's been a real bright spot,
mm-hmm.
and I'm passionate about my relationship with my wife and daughter. They've stood by me through everything, and we'll be married 30 years in 1 week. And
congratulations!
Thank you. That's a huge accomplishment for me to just. And not to be able to do that and to have raised a daughter
mm-hmm.
and not ever abused her. And I was always passionate to try to be a good father, and I have been somewhat, but not always, but at least in terms of protecting her, I always have been.
Mm-hmm.
But at this mm-hmm. at this point, it's like, well, I'm not... I don't have something that I really want to do to make a living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the point. You need to make a living, right?
Yeah.
And what we talked about before is you're hitting an age where doing hard physical labor all day long is not something your body is happy with. So it's
right.
important that you find something to do that you can make some money at and not hurt yourself and that sort of thing. So I have a friend who actually has a PhD from Cal Berkeley and delivers mail on a rural delivery route.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that he does that is because he wants a simple life that he can enjoy. He doesn't want to feel stressed. And he doesn't want it to be hard. And so he's found something that he can do and that meets those needs. Okay? He's had the experience of doing work that is challenging and exciting and pressured and those sorts of things, which if I'm recalling, you have too,
yeah.
if I remember that correctly. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the thing, of course, that I wonder about is, in that same vein, about not assuming that you're going to find work that's going to be meaningful for you, but that you are going to bring the meaning because you are going to use what you're doing as a way to end suffering, as a way to participate in life and make a contribution and have something that you do all day long, every day, with which you can practice, with which you can practice awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Well, I do. I try to do that in my current job, whether I'm sweeping aisles or lifting, you know, air compressors or other stuff that I have to lift. But it's
right. But we've established that that's not a good match because
yeah.
of the it's so. Just perhaps to consider, not that I try to bring conscious awareness to my day, but that I'm actually going to take this on as if I were a monk in a monastery, right? That this is the thing that I do, and my real job is to find the joy of life, the joy that is life, within each moment of everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually
okay.
don't want something that is terribly demanding.
Right.
Yeah. So one of the very popular jobs traditionally in Zen practice is sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeping is an excellent job, right? Because it's physically active, it's not arduous, and it frees us up to be attentive to body and mind in the action.
Mm-hmm.
We get something that's too mental, then we can get dragged off in that direction. If there's something that's too physical, it's easy to not for the body not to be in the kind of environment that it needs for maximum awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We want to find that middle way, yeah, and knowing that we are going to bring to it everything that it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, that's I can do that. My ego is going to say, well, that's not going to be a great job title to brag about, but I would rather
Good.
Be happy than have a great job
yeah.
title.
Yes, and if the ego is humiliated by what you do, well, that's just an extra bonus point.
Yeah, good point.
All right. All right,
okay.
You've got your assignment.
All right.
And you've got
okay.
your pal there to help you with the letter that is going to communicate your enthusiasm for being in a position where you can practice awareness. They don't have to know that that's your true motivation. They just need to know your enthusiasm for getting yourself into that position so that you can really begin to deepen your practice.
Okay. Okay, Sherry, thank you very much.
Let me know.
Michael.
You are so
welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Sherry, I found that conversation very inspiring and motivating to bring to life what I want out of life, whether it's my work
yes.
or my family or at the grocery store. I want to bring presence
yeah.
and enthusiasm and joy and friendliness and all that good stuff.
Yes, yeah, because that's what we want. Right? And so, of course, what we're going to get what we do. And so if you want all those things, then it's going to be up to you to do. Because if we're waiting around for somebody else to bring it to us, they might not do that. Yeah?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
And Sherry, we are 2 minutes to the hour here.
Well, I think we're just going to... I've been on this. I'll tell you about my obsession, Michael, and it'll take up some of
that.
I'm on this obsession about enough. Enough is just, I think we just need to get rid of the whole word, the concept, the everything. So I was laughing because I was going to say, okay, well, I think that's good enough. But then I realized I had to tell you the joke so that you would know why I was saying that's good enough. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir. I so appreciate it.
Oh, me too. Me too. Thanks for being
here. Talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
All right.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.